the kids are always big on my heart. So I want to talk about, we support right here in our hometown, Camp Living Water. So Camp Living Water has been around for decades, and they hold camps, Christian camps, throughout the summer, and they use their facility throughout the year. Groups can come in. You and I could rent Camp Living Water for our event. And so we want to pray for them and support them because we want to support the kids.
Amen.
And so we want to show them the love of Jesus and his word. It's so important right now, his plan of salvation. And the truth, it's the truth that sets us free, right? And so that's what they do there. And that's what we want to do here for our kids too. So we're going to pray for our kids. Just think there's some people right now raising money for kids to come to Camp Living Water here, just like we're raising money for our kids to go to camp elsewhere. So we want to pray for that. I know what it's like. I have three teens going to camp this summer. It's a lot of money, right? So we want to pray for that. We want to support our kids, and we want to volunteer. Camp Living Water says right on their website they need help with counselors and cooks this summer. So if y'all have a week or two to spare and you're feeling on your heart, go talk to Camp Living Water. They're in need because the kids need to go to camp. So let's pray for Jonathan Engel. He's the director there, and then Garrett Pearson. He's a programs and services director, and our very own Emily Siakinen is going to be a counselor there.
Amen.
This summer, so we want to pray for her too. And so let's pray for all our kids. And so I want to emphasize also, y'all have a chance to support our kids here, volunteer, and pray for our VBS coming the end of the month. And then also there's opportunities for us to give. I love these kids. Hey, buddy. Hey, Levi. He's like, whoa. So out there there's a board. You maybe came in and you're like, what's that? All those dollars. There's still $96 available. What you do is you grab a sticker off there and you agree to pay $96, and that helps our kids go to camp. And there's all kinds of numbers. I see people been picking the low numbers. I picked a low number, I must admit, and paid that. But you pick the number 33 is available, 96, and many in between there. And that money goes towards our kids going to camp. And that's in Fort Bluff. So let's pray for all these things and support our kids. Keep loving our kids, church. Y'all are great at it. I love this church, so keep it up. Lord, we thank you for Camp Living Water. We pray that they would keep the light for Jesus shining, the truth that Jesus is the truth and the way and the life. And we pray for Jonathan Engel. Let him direct well. Pray for his family. And for Garrett Pearson, for the programs that they're going to be doing. We pray for Emily, that she would be a great counselor and really encourage the kids, as she's already doing. And we pray for all our kids going to camp this summer, that they would be growing in Jesus and be saved if they're not. And we pray for our people right here, for VBS, we get ready. We pray for many children would come, be saved and encouraged at our VBS right here. And we pray for Fort Bluff as they prepare too, that our kids would be blessed there, protect them. And we thank you for our opportunity to be a part of what you're doing. We're so encouraged by that. And we pray for all our kids, protect them, love them, and let them grow up trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you.
Lord, we'll take up our offering this morning. Come on down while they're getting ready. Miss Reba would like me to make an announcement. Ladies, if you want to participate in the Victory Ladies Secret Sister for 23-24, please see Miss Reba. Raise your hand, wave it up there. Okay, all right. Please see her today for a form. All forms must be returned to her no later than the 18th. If you have any questions, please see Miss Reva about the Secret Sisters. So please see her about that. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. All right, Brother Joe, would you please pray for the offering, sir? Okay, if you'll stand and join us this morning, we're going to try a song together, 394 in the church hymnal, 394 in the red church hymnal. And while you're turning there, I want to remind you that this coming Wednesday night is choir practice at 6 o'clock. Choir practice at 6 o'clock this coming Wednesday night.
We have dinner.
Huh?
We have dinner.
Well, we've got off schedule then.
Do we have dinner this Wednesday, Sandy?
Well, let's just... This coming Wednesday night, we do not have choir practice. 394. If you don't know it, you can learn it this morning. 394. I can't feel at home in this world. This world is not my home. I'm only passing by. My treasures and my hope are all up in the sky. My friends and loved ones wait who trod this way before. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven were not my lonely, dear Lord, would what I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. On the second verse. In that eternal land, there is no dying there. There saints the victory shout, and Jesus' name declare. The Savior I will praise, who all my sorrows bore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven were not my home, dear Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me to my door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Y'all fellowship around, the choir's gonna come on down. Well, thank you. truth. One more time. Number 401, we'll sing another one together. 401, the unclouded day. 401 in the church hymnal. The unclouded day, if we can get that pulled up. All right, here we go now. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Wait a minute. Yeah, last verse now. Oh, they tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smiles drive their sorrows all away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again in that lovely land of unclouded day. Of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. We're going to sing a couple verses of Amazing Grace before we sit down. Just a couple verses. Singing to the Lord now this morning, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught no! praise God, 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 praise God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I see. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Dad! Dad! Little Melvin came running up the front walk. Had a letter in his hand. He was excited. I mean, he was almost tripping. He was so excited. Dad! Dad! His dad opens the door. What's going on, little Melvin? Dad, I got accepted. I got accepted. Accepted? What do you mean you got accepted? He says, Dad, look at this. And he opened up a letter. It was said from the Wilderness Explorer Club. And it says, Dear Melvin, you've been accepted to the Wilderness Explorer Club. Any of y'all ever been to the Wilderness Explorer Club before? He says, Dad, guess what? I am now part of the Wilderness Explorer Club, and I get to do everything they get to do. I belong to a group. I belong to a club, and I feel so good about it. His dad looked at him and says, Well, what did you have to do to be part of this club, Melvin? Did you have to sign up? Did you have to pay some money? Or what? He says, No. I had a man come by me and ask me if I wanted to be part of the Wilderness Explorer Club. I didn't know what it was about, so I asked him about it. And he told me that we get to go out into the wilderness and we get to do all kinds of different things. We get to build bridges and we get to pick up trash and we get to help with the animals and the plants. Oh, Dad, I'm so excited. Well, Melvin, when does this start? Well, Dad, it starts right now. Well, Melvin, when does your first meeting? He says, Dad, there's no meetings. It just becomes a lifestyle that we get to do every day of our life. The Wilderness Explorer Club. They say, what's that got to do with the hill of beans, Brother Brian? It's got everything to do with it because guess what? You've been invited. You've been invited to be in a club better than the Wilderness Explorer Club. You've been invited to become part of the family of God. And that invitation was extended to you through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That invitation has been extended down throughout all the ages. Jesus said that whosoever shall believe in me shall not perish but have everlasting life. He's speaking to Nicodemus. For God so loved the world. Let me ask you a question. If you're not part of the Wilderness Exploration Club, like little Melvin, are you part of the family of God? That's what matters. I want to show you a part of the Gospels. I want to show you an incident that took place in the Gospels that kind of talks about what God expects from you and I. Go to the book of Matthew chapter number 14 this morning. Matthew chapter number 14. The name of the title of the sermon is this: Two Fish, Five Loaves, or an Open Hand. Two fish, five loaves, or an open hand. My question for you this morning is, do you have two fish? Do you have five loaves? Or do you have an open hand this morning? Matthew chapter number 14. Let me give you the setting. It talks about it here in verse number 13 of Matthew chapter 14. Verse number 13, Matthew gives us the setting. He says, when Jesus heard of it, speaking about Jesus or John the Baptist being killed, when Jesus heard of it, he departed by ship into a desert place. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth, and he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or food. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, we have but five loaves and two fish. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking upon to heaven, he blessed, and he brake. And he gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women
and children. 2 fish, 5 loaves are an open hand. Now, if you look at the story, it's just a general miracle that Jesus performed. And you can pass right over it, but there's some special nuances that I want us to see in here. The first nuance I want you to see is that Jesus was in a place of mourning when this took place. He had just found out that John the Baptist, his cousin, had been beheaded. And John the Baptist was in prison for something he had not done wrong. But the word came to Jesus that John was beheaded. Because look in verse 13, it says, when Jesus heard of it, what? When Jesus, that John the Baptist was killed, he departed by ship into a desert place apart. He needed a place to mourn. Well, wait a minute, he's God. Why does he need to mourn? May I tell you that Jesus had the same emotions that you and I have. He understands the sorrow and the hurt that we all have. He understands the problems that we deal with in life. When he heard that John the Baptist, his cousin, had been beheaded, it says that he went into a desert place by himself. He went there to mourn and to pray. He went there to try to seek direction from his heavenly Father. May I tell you that there's a time for us to do that in our lives. There's a time for us to be set apart. There's a time for us to take the moment and to pray and to seek what God wants us to do about any kind of situation that comes up in our life. Maybe that's what you're doing in your life right now. Maybe you're in a place of decision. Maybe you're needing direction and guidance. And you're so desperately just saying, oh God, hear me. That's where Jesus was. But see, Jesus had another mission. He didn't come to earth to simply be served. He didn't come to earth to be felt sorry for. Jesus Christ came to earth to serve and to save. So it says that he went apart. But then look what happens. When he went there, it says they, the people, when all the thousands of people heard where he was, they followed him on foot out of the cities. He didn't even have time to mourn. He got there and it says the people crowded him and they surrounded him and they came on foot and they came on whatever means they had. They came because they wanted something from him. But here's the point I want to make this morning. And Jesus went forth and he saw a great multitude and he was moved with anger and he rejected them. Is that what it says? He was moved with what? Compassion. He was in a place of need himself. He was in a place that he needed to get alone with God, but it wasn't capable of happening. But when he saw the situation, he was moved with compassion. May I tell you, brothers and sisters, I think we need more people in this world moved with compassion. I think that we need to see people through the eyes of God instead of seeing people with our own eyes. I think it's time that we have stopped thinking about ourselves first. I think it's time that we start lifting ourselves up and get off the throne of God and humble ourselves just like Jesus Christ did. He didn't have to meet these needs. Everywhere he went, he was completely surrounded by people. With everything he did, people were always there. But it says he was moved with compassion. I'm glad that Jesus had compassion towards me. How many of you are glad that Jesus had compassion toward you? He saw you at your worst. And he says, I love you. He was moved with compassion. But it says not only was he moved with compassion, what did he begin to do? He began to heal their sick. He didn't say, go away. He didn't say, come back another time. He said, come unto me, all ye who are laboring, and I will give you rest. He began to heal their sick. I don't know what he did. Did he touch them and so they could see again? Did he rub their ears and so they could hear again? Did he heal the lame? Did he raise the dead? Yes. All their sicknesses that were there, it says that Jesus healed their sick. And I imagine there was rejoicing going on. I imagine there was shouting going on. I imagine there was crying going on. I bet you there was snot everywhere. People were rejoicing. Look what Jesus has done for us. But there was a problem. They were in a desert. Because look what it says next. And when it came evening, his disciples came to him. And this is what they said. This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away. Tell them to go home, that they may go to the villages and buy themselves food. Hey, Jesus, in case you weren't aware, it's getting dark. Oh, and by the way, Jesus, this is a desert here. And Jesus, I bet you what we need to do is tell them to go home. Tell them to go into the villages and buy their own food, because guess what? We can't meet this need. We can't take care of these folks. I know you've been healing them, and I know everybody's rejoicing, but Jesus, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? Now look at me, brothers and sisters. I think sometimes we get that way in our lives. We look at the circumstances and we look at the situations and we think, oh Lord, how are we going to handle this? It kind of reminds me of the old joke. The mom who had five kids and a husband and family and everything else, and she got the bright idea to have dinner, and her husband invited the preacher to come. And they sat down and get ready to eat, and she was so tired and so worn out, and she looked at the littlest one. She said, why don't you go ahead and pray for our food? And the littlest one looked at her and said, well, Mama, I don't know what to pray. She says, you just say what I say. No problem. She bowed her head. Oh, God, why did we invite the preacher to lunch today? That's probably what these disciples were looking at Jesus and saying, what do you want us to do? We can't meet this need. Look how Jesus responds to them. Jesus said unto them, they don't need to go anywhere. You give them something to eat. Now, honestly, think about it for a minute. What would you do if Jesus told you the exact same thing? 5,000, at least 5,000 people in a desert place, and the darkness is descending, and they say, Miss Linda, you got to feed 5,000 people, and you got to feed them right now. How many of you would be thrilled to death, ladies? How many of you be saying, oh, good, no problem. I'm going to go and see if I can whip up something out of the cupboard. No. They didn't know what to do. Jesus, are you sure about this? What do we do? And they said unto him, we have 5 loaves and we have 2 fish. May I tell you that little is much when God is in it? You say, well, what's this got to do with anything you said, Brother Brian? Remember little Melvin? He was so excited because he got to be part of something. May I tell you, you are part of something even greater than the Wilderness Explorer Club. You are part of the family of God. And God has called every single one of us to feed other people. Now we may look at God and say, well, God, how do I do it? I don't know how to do it. I don't have the energy. I don't have the strength. I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I don't have anything, God. What am I going to do about it? All I've got is these 2 fish and 5 loaves, God. That's all I've got. And so therefore, I'm not going to serve you because I really don't have anything to serve you with. All right, I'm going to take a survey this morning. Don't raise your hands. But I want you to analyze this and answer these questions to yourselves. Do you have the ability to count to 4? Do you have the ability to add 50 plus 50? Do you have the ability to write your name? Do you have the ability to form a coherent sentence? Do you have the ability to use that little electronic device we know as an iPhone? Do you have the ability to have a conversation with somebody? Do you have the ability to close your hands and close your eyes and pray? May I tell you, you have more than enough qualification to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You have more than two fish and five loaves. You have everything that you have been given to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So they said, Jesus, all we have is five loaves and two fish. May I tell you, it didn't matter if they had one speck and a little bit of fish eyeball. If that's all they had, that's all Jesus needed. If all they had was a fish eyeball, that's all Jesus needed. If all you have is the ability to whisper a name, that's all you need. Because Jesus Christ is the one that will empower you and strengthen you and guide you and provide for you. My God is almighty and my God can do anything. Can yours do that? Whew. Let me ask you again. My God can do it. Can your God do it? Look what it says. This is all we got, Jesus. And Jesus said, well, go out and find some more. What did he say? He said, bring them to me. Give them to me. Let me take them and let me use them. Brothers and sisters, if all you have is a fifth grade education, give it to Jesus. If all you have is a college education, give it to Jesus. If you don't even have any kind of education, give it to Jesus. If all you have is a loving home, give it to Jesus. If all you have is the ability to speak, give it to Jesus. Whatever you give to Him, He will use. The selfishness of human beings nowadays is garbage. We're getting so self-absorbed. We get so much of the situation where we don't want to get involved with anything. Now, I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about those who aren't here this morning. We don't want to be affected by anything. Well, I'm just going to stay home, and I'm just going to cower, and I'm just going to sit, and I'm not going to be involved in anything because you know what? I don't want to get hurt. May I tell you, I have been hurt over and over and over. I've been hurt in church. I've been done wrong at the grocery store. I've been done wrong at the sports stadium. And I don't even want to tell you why I don't eat ice. Some of you know that story. I've been done bad everywhere I've gone. I've had people say things to me. I've had people do things to me. I've had family members hurt me. Does that mean that I've given up? Does that mean I've stopped refusing to do anything for the Lord? Does that mean I've just simply said I'm done? No. Because I realize that my God is mightier and stronger than my hurt. Jesus doesn't want excuses. He just wants an open heart and say, God, use me in whatever capacity you want me to be used. Now here's the amazing thing. Look at this. It says, bring them to me. And then he commanded. He says, y'all sit down. That's in the Greek, okay, y'all. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the five loaves and he took the two fish. And looking up to heaven, may I tell you that our source of strength comes down from above. Our source of strength is not from human beings. Our source of strength is not from our abilities. Our source of strength is not from some book somewhere. Our source of strength is from God Almighty Himself. And it says that he looked up to heaven and he blessed and he broke the food and he gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples gave it to the multitude and it says, and they did all eat and it says, and were filled. Two fish, five loaves. Now you might be sitting there thinking, now come on, come on. There's no way that over 5,000 people were filled up with food that day. How many of you believe this really took place? I mean, honestly. You know the required agreement ingredients for this to happen? Had nothing to do with the food. It had everything to do with Jesus Christ. And the willing hands to feed the multitude. Now, if Jesus was by himself and there were no disciples, do you think those 5,000 people could have got fed? Of course. So why did he allow his disciples to do the work? The same reason he calls you and I to do the work. He calls us to do the feeding. He says, you give me what you've got, I will bless it, I will multiply it, and then I'm going to let you give it out. I used to always wonder when Jesus said, when I die, that you're going to do greater works than I do. I always wondered, what did that mean? Does that mean I'm going to do miracles? No, not necessarily. That meant that I was going to be able to take what he had given to me and do a whole lot more than he was able to do while he was here on earth at that time. I'm going to reach people that he never met on this earth. I'm going to have abilities and strengths and to do things that he was not able to do because he's not alive on this earth. I'm going to be an instrument for him. Melvin was excited because guess what? He got to go out into the woods and do things. He was excited about it. But we as Christians, I guess I got to go and deliver meals today. Oh my goodness, I guess I got to show up at church. And so, oh my goodness, that means I guess I got to go downtown and pick up trash. No. Think about it for a second. Those disciples saw 2 fish and 5 loaves. You know what Jesus saw? He saw a possibility of filling up people's mouths that nobody else saw. Now think about it. They had those they didn't even have baskets. You know what they had to do? They had to go walk into the crowd to get the baskets. And they brought the baskets back. And Jesus, and he blessed the food and he broke it. I'm sure he took little bitty fragments and gave them to each of the disciples and said, okay, fellas, put these inside the baskets. And they were thinking to themselves, okay, now what are we going to do? And they opened the basket back up, and I guarantee you, that was filled to the brim. And as they passed the food out, you know what happened? It didn't get any lower. And as they were going through the crowds, passing the food out, I'm sure they kept looking and saying, man, it's not reducing. And they kept, and it says they came back with 12 baskets still full of food after everybody had eaten. May I tell you this morning, all God wants for you to do is provide what he's given to you for his honor and glory. Why? Because he has compassion. He cares. I'm glad that he saw a lost, wayward young man in West Germany. And he saw me where I was. And he had compassion. And he sent someone to feed me. I'm glad that he saw a precious, precious young girl in Silver City, Mississippi. And he had compassion on her. And he sent a mom and daddy to feed her. I'm glad he saw you where you were. And he sent someone to feed you. Why? Because he loves you. And all he asks us to do is take what he's given to us and give it to somebody else. Let me ask you, Do you have 2 loaves? Or 5 loaves? Or 10 loaves? Do you have a fish? Or do you have open hands? Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want all I can get. Or do you have the heart? I want to give, give, give. It's not always about giving out manna food, which is a fantastic ministry. Wow, we feed lots of people here. But you know what it's also about doing? Being downtown and maybe passing out tracts. Maybe picking up litter. Maybe being the parent at home that God has called you to be. Maybe being the spouse that God has called you to be. Perhaps being that person at work who can feed somebody with the Word of God. Just being a Christian in front of them. It may mean teaching a Sunday school class or working in the nursery. It may mean greeting people as they come in on a Sunday morning. Or just coming and sitting down and expecting somebody to give you. So how about it? 2 fish? 5 loaves? Or do you have open hands wanting something? Can you imagine the conversation took place after they brought those 12 baskets back? I've still got food. What do we do with this? I can't eat all this food. What does he expect me to do with this? And I'm sure Jesus had a grin on his face that was just a mile long, saying, "Oh, my children, you're just now getting it." So let me ask you this morning, are you part of the club? The Wilderness Explorer Club. No. Are you part of the family of God? Has Jesus Christ saved your soul through His blood? If He has, you've been gifted. You've been given something. Something. The ability to make a phone call. Well, Brother Brian, I can't even get my iPhone to turn on. Well, that's okay. They still have rotary dial, I believe, around here. Push button dial. They still have the ability to write letters. They still have the ability to smile and shake hands. They still have the ability to be able to go to somebody's yard and offer to mow it for them. They still have the ability to go and feed the shut-ins around here. All you got to do is want to do it. The 12 disciples, even Judas, gave what was given to them. How about you and I? Two fish. 5 loaves and a wonderful Savior. That's what we need. Let's all stand together this morning. You say, Brother Brian, you're trying to make me feel guilty this morning. You're trying to make me do something that I don't want to do. Absolutely not. If you're going to serve the Lord because I make you feel guilty, if you're going to be willing to surrender your life to the God and do what He has called you to do because I'm making you feel guilty, then you're putting me in the position of God, and I don't want nothing to do with that. But if you'd be willing to say, "Oh God, what do you want me to do?" It may mean to be the best mom or dad or spouse in the home that you can be for the Lord. Do it. It may mean to be the best co-worker you can be at work and ministering to people that you work with. It may be picking up trash or delivering meals or working here in the church. Whatever it is, stop being selfish and just use what God has given to you. I don't want to stand before God one day and have Him say this. Well, I gave you these things, but you were so selfish you kept them to yourself. What I want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How about you? How about me? Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. I know there's some precious souls in this room that so desperately want to serve you with something. God, you've given us so much. You have blessed us with so much. And sometimes we don't know what to do. But Father, you are mighty enough and strong enough and wise enough to put us where we need to be, doing what you want us to do. And I'm not just talking about these four walls. I'm talking about everyday life. Thank you for these precious saints here this morning. I'm praying, God, that you have challenged them through your word. I'm praying, God, that you will encourage us through your word, that you will direct us through your word, that, God, we will know what you have called us to do. What a privilege it is to have high school graduates recently in our auditorium this morning. What their future looks like is just outstanding. God, help them to serve you with their lives for you. Help their parents and their grandparents and their friends and their neighbors and every blood-bought believer serve you with what you've given to us. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for equipping us. Now may we be useful for you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Doris, if you begin to play, I'm going to invite you to come. I'm going to invite you with heads bowed and eyes closed to just come on and hit this altar and say, oh God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? Do you want me to surrender to ministry? Do you want me to surrender, God, in my home and my work? God, please. I'm inviting you to come. Come on, just step on out. I don't know what to do, God, but I want to trust you. Won't you come right now this morning? Won't you come? Come on, the music's playing. You don't have to be a member of this church to do it. Just come on. Come on down. Do you want to surrender to the Lord today?